You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Asbury. Happy Friday. Happy November 1st. Happy All Saints Day. How many of you listened to Christmas music this morning? Me too. You're awesome. It is Christmas season. Hey, I'm so excited about our chapel today. First and foremost, I want to welcome any guests that we have today. Thank you for being here. You are always welcome at Asbury University. And we also have some very, very special guests. Can I ask at this time for Asbury's Board of Trustees to please stand? Our Board of Trustees come twice a year. We gather here on campus for 2.5 days of meetings. We meet in between them as those times as well. We have some really, really extraordinary board members, and I want you to know how special they are. First and foremost, they love each other. They love each other. It's evident if you spend time with our board. They love the Lord. They love God. They love Asbury. They are committed to this mission. And you all, they love you. They love you. I can promise you, whatever else we talk about today, we will discuss Asbury students. One of our board members that you will have the pleasure of hearing from today, Ashley Banky, even gathered a group of our staff in August, well before you had come here to campus. And they went through all of the resident halls, all of the rooms to pray for you. I can think of the board members who came here to campus in February of 2023, not to say, hey, I'm here, but rather just to pray, to be on campus and to pray. It is a very special group of people. I'm thrilled that they are here. I hope you get to know them better. And today you're going to hear from a panel of some of our board members. And as you know, we have talked about the best kind of life this semester. And so what a fantastic opportunity to hear from some of those Asbarians who have gone before you and to talk about what it means to live a flourishing, abundant life. We always say that Asbury is a becoming story for a student. And I hope you've heard me say this before. What does that mean? What does that mean when you walk across the stage? It means deep thought, effective service, ordered love, and holistic practice. And another way of saying that is to think well, serve well, love well, live well. We want you to live well. So I'm thrilled for you to hear from some of those Asbarians, again, who have gone before you and who love the Lord and who live well. At this time, please open your hearts in worship as we enter into our time together.
Good morning, Asbury. You can hear me now. All right. Can you hear me now? That takes us back to an old commercial. My name's Larry Brown, and I have the privilege, the honor, to be the chair of the Board of Trustees. And we exercise a fiduciary responsibility here related to Asbury in that we are responsible both legally and morally and spiritually for making sure that Asbury is and will continue to be committed to the mandate that caused the Lord to call this institution into existence. What a privilege it is for us. And Dr. Brown was right. We love you, we pray for you, and we pray not only for you, but for future generations of students that will come through should the Lord tarry. So it's great to be here with you. There's also another privilege that comes with being the chair of the board, and that is when you need some help, you just call on people on the board, and they generally will go along with it. And so I can assure you that none of us, when we sat in the seats that you're sitting in, thought that we would be on stage as a trustee, talking to you today. But we are so glad to be here. Some of you up there that might have trouble seeing these folks, move on down. The chapel checkers know you're here. Move on down so you can see these folks that are over here to my left as we go. We're in this series, and you've been in this series, The Best Kind of Life, and based off of John 10 as the reference. You've heard it at least 5 different chapel messages related to that. And let me just review. Dr. Baldwin, snakes and stones on the journey, but abiding grace. Dr. Hall talked about enslavement of perfectionism, but the freedom to surrender. Prof. Lim talked about the trap of regret, perfection, comparison, but there is trust in an unknown future. Jeannie Banter talked about the temptation to control, and last Friday, I believe it was, Pastor Hasselhoff talked about, we're not talking prosperity gospel when we talk about abundant life. We're talking daily bread. Jeannie talked about trust leading to surrender, leading to obedience. Dr. Kim talked about abiding relationships. Dr. Hall talked about a shepherd staff, that on that shepherd staff they would notch or in some way mark memorial events and dates that occurred through their life, but they still had a little room because the future was yet to come. And then Dr. Baldwin talked about goals and dreams and thinking out 10 or 15 years. Well, you can probably tell just by our physical presence that some of us at least have multiple 10 and 15 years since we've sat in your seat to think about the best kind of life. We planned for it, and then life happened. And that's what you'll experience as well. So in this series of the best kind of life, we thought maybe a case study might be appropriate. We all sat in these seats. We all had dreams and expectations. And then life happened. The thief at times came to kill and destroy and to steal. But Jesus came to give us abundant life. And we want to talk about what it means to live in that abundant life. So without further ado, let me ask introductions. Down the line.
I hope this is on.
You're on.
Good. My name is Cindy Lou Drummond, not to be confused with Cindy Lou Who from Dr. Seuss. I've gotten that quite a bit. But Cindy Lou Drummond, I'm the daughter of Salvation Army officers. And love our Sallies. And I, at a very early age, accepted Jesus as my Savior, and knew as a young person that I was called to be a Salvation Army officer. It was at the age of 12 that I heard a missionary speak and felt the call of God to be a medical missionary. And the process to get there was to come to Asbury. It was not necessarily my choice. My parents, it was a family thing. Cousins had come here. My sister had come here. I was going to come to Asbury. I'm glad I did. And today, I am the secretary for personnel for the Eastern Territory of the Salvation Army.
Good morning. I'm Tim Schell, and I sat and sometimes slept in some of those seats out there. And so I hope I keep your attention a little bit better than that. But anyway, when I graduated, I knew the Lord, but I didn't have a true calling of where the Lord wanted me to be. And so I left here sort of aimless, although I did know that I was going to be working for United Parcel Service, you know, later in the year. There was a window of time when I didn't really know exactly what the Lord was going to do. But through one of our senior retreats, I asked the Lord while I was there. I said, Lord, give me a word. Give me a message. And we had the good pleasure of having the Whitworths. Many of you know Mark Whitworth. Well, I knew Mark before he was even in Asbury. And his mom and dad were our sponsors. And so we were at that senior retreat, nothing really happening. And I was like, okay, Lord, I really ask you for a word. And before we broke, Albin, Mark's dad, said, wherever you go and whatever you do, always get plugged into a Bible-believing church and get active. And through the ups and downs of my life, it's been those kinds of Bible-believing churches that have kept me grounded. Have I been perfect? No. But I always find and have always found my way back to where God wanted me to be through that word. And I hope that helps you as you embark and go about your business. And then through life, you know, I've had ups and downs, but been very, very blessed.
My name is Ashley Banky, and I am married to Steve Banky, who is an alum of the university, and I am a mother to Silas, shout out, class of, in the junior section. I also have three other boys, Josiah, Samuel, and Simeon. The little guy is 8, so I span lots of areas. My time at Asbury really formed a heart of service, and the narrative of that took a very different path that I think we might get to today. I was a middle school education major, and I only taught for 3 years and felt the Lord calling me into a sales position in an automotive dealership, which sounds like a big jump, but my family business is automotive back in Ohio. And the Lord was really working to bring me back into that, where I now work. I worked for many years, 15 years, as the director of HR for the family business, and then transitioned into a role in philanthropy and community engagement, and am having the most fun I've had in many years.
Good. So let's. You've heard a little bit. You know at least where we started and a little bit of their story as to where the Lord took them after Asbury. But let's think back to when we were sitting here in these seats and we were getting ready to leave. We did have goals and dreams, that 10 and 15 year time frame. Where would we end up? What would be the best life for us? So Cindy Lou, take us back to you're now leaving Asbury and what those dreams and goals were.
Well, I was a biology pre-med major and was a little late in the game to get into medical school right after college, but I applied and got a little discouraged. Actually, while I was here, I was an average student. I wouldn't say I was an excellent student, but I could persevere. And at one point, I got very tired of Asbury and decided I was going to go to the University of Syracuse, where my parents were living at the time, and had planned on that. Got right up to August, and I started to panic, and I thought, oh, no. I got to go back to Asbury. Well, that was kind of a fatal mistake. Well, no, it wasn't a fatal mistake. It was a good thing. I'm still here. Yeah. But, you know, when you lose your seniority at Asbury, you don't get to pick your roommate. You don't get to pick where you want to live, at least back then. And so I had to get what I got, which was a freshman as a senior, which was okay. We got to be friends. But it was just a whole new perspective, but it solidified for me what my calling was, because I was going to settle for something different because I didn't think I was going to get into medical school. So graduated from Asbury and applied to medical schools. I was put on a wait list, and I said, the first school that accepts me, I'm going to accept it. And it happened to be the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. And that was very exciting to me, made me a little nervous. But I was thankful that during that time of waiting, I was able to prepare myself. I worked an outside job, and it got me prepared to be with people that were not quite like-minded with as I was. I graduated from medical school, and as Tim mentioned, I wasn't perfect. I certainly wasn't perfect in my walk with the Lord, but I tried to stay connected. I belonged to the Christian Medical Society at the college. And it took me to Michigan for my residency and family practice. I actually took a detour to York, Pennsylvania to do an OBGYN residency and absolutely hated it. Then went to family practice, which was really my niche. Go further. So I knew that at some point I had to fulfill, be obedient to my calling to be a Salvation Army officer. And I worked in a practice in Lidditz, Pennsylvania, and it was a wonderful practice. I was in Michigan after my residency for a short while as well. But the time came for me to become a Salvation Army officer. And I went to the Salvation Army College for officer training in Suffern, New York. There was a plan. My plan that I would get to go overseas as soon as I was commissioned as a Salvation Army officer. But that was not the plan of the Salvation Army. And I got very discouraged with that because this was the plan. God had called me to be a missionary. And I got so discouraged that I left the Salvation Army and took a 2-year break, went back to my practice, but had a very, very much of a holy discontent that I wasn't doing what God had called me to do. And so I humbly came back to the Salvation Army. Medicine was not going to be my first thing to do in the Salvation Army. I went to Oil City, Pennsylvania. If you know Oil City, a small town. And but it opened doors of opportunity that I never imagined, and I was so pleased. And from there, after 3 years, went to Zimbabwe. Now, you'd think that that was the fulfillment of my dream, but when I got to Zimbabwe, because if you remember, I told you, I went to Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, a little different than the allopathic route, which is an MD. I was a DO. Got to Zimbabwe, and they did not accept my credentials, and I had to come home. Coming home was a little difficult, but I found at the Salvation Army Training College that my appointment was to be the primary care physician for 150 cadets, which is a little bit smaller than an average practice, but it was still serving God in that way. My life has gone a different track even from there. I went from the training college, being the assistant principal, and then to New Jersey and Cleveland as the divisional leader, and now to my present role as the territorial secretary for personnel, which is an HR position. All that to say, we are called to be obedient. And although my dream was to be a missionary doctor, I would not change a thing. God has blessed me with people.
Amen. Tim, I want to come back to you on this this idea of dreams and goals. And we've talked enough that I know that when you walked across the platform and received your diploma as a senior, the dreams and goals might have been a little fuzzy. Any seniors can identify with that? Yeah, here we are. Yeah? Okay. Tell us a little bit about it, Tim.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a little fuzzy. I didn't know exactly where God was going to take me. I knew where he wasn't going to take me, and that was back to Wilmore. And so I was a very happy guy looking at Wilmore in the rearview mirror. And I had no plans to come back, no plans to be a part of anything that Wilmore had. Not that I hated Asbury, but I was just done. And so my primary goal was to work off my school debt. And so that was my first goal. How do I get out of debt? And so, you know, as life took its course, I was able to do that. But one thing in particular, there was a coach here that by the name of Cecil Zweifel. And by that time, I'd gotten married and found a wonderful helpmate who has been really my biggest cheerleader through the last 33 years. And has just been at my side through the good and the bad. And so he and his wife came and said, son, he always called me son. He said, son, he said, when are you going to reconnect with Asbury? And I said, I don't look forward to that at all, coach. And he said, I would hope and ask you to pray about that. And as I mentioned earlier, Alvin said, get connected to a good church. I had done that. My wife and I had done that. And the Lord started working in my heart. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'll just sort of step out. Never in 10 million years would I have ever thought or considered the fact I'd be on the Board of Trustees at Asbury. But as Cindy Lou had mentioned, I found out that obedience is far greater than sacrifice when it comes to God. And so as I started navigating life, that just being obedient to where God called me to be played a tremendous role in how I survived the valleys. Because in business, I've owned several companies. And in business, I've always found myself to be more in the valleys than the mountaintops. Now, I've had mountaintop experiences, and they're great. But God has navigated me through some really tough valleys, and it's only because of that. And so when I look at that, I think, okay, how do I persevere? Joshua 1:9 says, be courageous and don't be fearful. And so as I look through life, it's that courageousness. And if I read that through the Amplified Bible, which I'll do that really quick for you, the Amplified Bible puts it pretty clear. Have I not commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that is a testimony to why I sit here today. Because without him, I wouldn't be here, and without him, I could not have navigated all the things that have taken place in my life. So,
Ashley, we've talked about dreams and goals, and you've had dreams and goals, but the first part of that verse talks about the thief coming to steal, destroy, kill. All of us have those times, those valleys we've gone through. Maybe some little bit of that from you?
Little glimpse. So my dreams really were, you know, to have the happy, abundant life, happily married with children, and everything was just going to go beautifully according to plan. I was going to be, you know, successful in, you know, the workplace and a leader. Life is hard. Life is just hard. And the enemy does come to steal our joy, to bring comparison, to bring discord, to sow seeds of unbelief. And there were, you know, there was a season, you know, my husband Steve and I have been married 25 years. We're in it to win it now. But there was a season around 7 or 8, and, you know, I wasn't sure we were going to make it, quite frankly. And the grief that I felt, and the justification that I felt, the enemy was speaking lies, and ambition, competition, comparison were seeping in. And thankfully, I was in a good church and in good community, and had a heart to serve and a heart to be open and honest. And the Lord asked me to be obedient to him, to lay down my own desires, and to trust him for healing, to not just walk away with, you know, well, I have every right, XYZ. And don't get me wrong, Steve's a good man. But it was hard. Medical school was hard. We got married during his third year of medical school. Residency, you know, at the end of his residency, we had a newborn baby. It just wasn't conducive to an easy, picturesque life that I had envisioned. And so that's what the Lord was asking me to release to him, and to let this be, you know, I also wanted to be serving in a mission capacity, but was I willing to serve in a smaller way? Was I willing to just serve, you know, my family, my husband? And when I began to shift and change my focus away from my rights, the worldly expectation of what I deserved, and humble myself, everything fell into place. Everything became easier. I began to see my own part that I was playing in the discord that we were experiencing. And the Lord began to work a miracle of healing in our lives. At the same time, in our, you know, family business, there was a lot of that same, you know, temptation towards discord years later, you know, worldly ambition, and the Lord inviting me to, will you lay this down? Will you be, unless a kernel of wheat, you know, is planted in the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit. And the Lord invited me to do that and to lay down an area that I was, you know, loving, and to move into something unknown, and not in a smooth transition. And then the Lord has really blessed that, which is why I led with, and now I'm having the most fun that I've had as I have seen fruit come from that place of surrender, of saying, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. But as I seek you, as I seek you more in my life, as I'm willing to lay down more of my desires and let you transform then he is able to do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine.
Life's tough. There will be ups and downs. And yet, it is the abundant life that Christ came to give us. So we have just a few minutes left, literally a few minutes. So talk about, Cindy, if you would start us off, and we'll just go right down the line. Abundant life, maintaining that abundant life, and looking forward. In a minute.
Yeah, in a minute. Abundant life. I think it has to come from daily communion with God, making him first in my life. And that's what I want to keep doing. Next year I retire. I can hardly believe it. And my desire is to keep serving him. I'm hoping again in a medical capacity in the future.
Reframe the question.
Yeah,
reframe the question. Maintaining an abundant life, and what's that look like for you in the future?
I think the abundant life for me at this stage is one of these days I'm going to stand before the Lord. And my prayer is that he will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I've had the blessings of having three wonderful children, all who know and love the Lord, a wife that's been with me who loves the Lord. We've been very, very blessed. But at the end of my life, I want to have made an impact. And I think that only comes through relationship. And people talk about religion all day, but it's about relationship. And when you get into that relationship with Christ and you put it all down before him, he has a way of navigating the difficulties better than anyone you could ever align yourself with. And so that would be my prayer for myself. And, I just want to be used. I want to be his vessel and be counted. And so that's what it's about for me right now.
For me, maintaining abundance comes from a few key things. One is scripture before phone. Starting the day, scripture before phone. Community, prioritizing godly community that is creating spaces for accountability, prayer, and studying God's word. The Lord's led me through a Sabbath curious stage. What does it mean to really lean into this gift of Sabbath and laying and allowing the Lord to work while we rest, laying down the need to strive and trusting him to truly create abundance.
And so we love you. We pray for you. We trust that you see. It'd be hard to see yourselves looking like us up here, but the calendar will continue to turn, and you will, and life will roll on. There will be trials, temptations, frustrations. There will be stones that will get in the way. But the foundation that you have the opportunity to lay in your life in these days that you spend on this campus, emphasizing academic excellence along with spiritual vitality, will prepare you for whatever comes before. But seek the Lord, follow the Lord, and you will be blessed. Thank you for your time this morning.